the campaign against Herbalife.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Billionaire hedge fund manager Bill Ackman believes that the company called Herbalife is a pyramid scheme, and Ackman's made a $1 billion bet on that. A wager, Herbalife's share price will plummet. Herbalife sells vitamins and supplements and says its business structure is perfectly legal. About a tenth of its sales last year were in China, and that's where Bill Ackman is focusing his attention now. Later today, he's releasing a report alleging Herbalife violates Chinese law. Marketplace's David Gura joins us from our Washington Bureau. What's the case that this activist investor wants to make later today?
Well, his firm, which is called Pershing Square Capital Management, says it obtained some documents from someone who used to work for Herbalife. And I suspect that what we're going to hear will be similar to what we have heard from Bill Ackman in the past about Herbalife's American operations. And that is that there's something fundamentally wrong with its business model. That is that distributors are selling to distributors who are selling to distributors, and very little product is getting sold. I should say China is a big market for Herbalife. Bill Ackman's goal here, David, is to convince Chinese regulators to take a closer look at Herbalife. And I'm sure it's not lost on him that regulators there recently launched an investigation into another company that has a very similar business model.
That sounds similar to the strategy Mr. Ackman has been using here, rattling the cages of government regulators to keep a closer eye on Herbalife.
Yeah, you saw the Times ran a piece on this yesterday. Bill Ackman wants Herbalife's stock price to fall. And if it does, he and his firm stand to make a lot of money, of course. So a way to do that is to sort of raise consciousness among investors, spook investors, and make them think or believe that Herbalife is in trouble. So Ackman has made his case to members of Congress, to security regulators, to special interest groups. This is a growing business here in Washington, where financiers and hedge funds and banks are doing all they can to sort of work the Washington system. What we're seeing is a big, well-orchestrated campaign, David, which I suppose shouldn't surprise us when there's a bet here worth $1 billion+.
Marketplace's David Gura in Washington. Thank you.
Thanks.
It has been 3 years since the Fukushima disaster prompted Japan to try to wean itself from nuclear power, although the push there now is to reopen some plants. In the U.S., four new nuclear reactors are under construction after a long lull, but as Kate Davidson reports, it's something short of a nuclear renaissance.
Before the reactors in Georgia and South Carolina came along, it had been about 30 years since anyone applied for a new nuclear license. Peter Bradford is a former member of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. He says it's all about economics.
The idea that public fearfulness or the resistance of environmental groups is what killed nuclear power in the U.S. has always been nonsense.
He says nuclear plants are expensive to build and hard to finance, plus electricity demand is lower than expected.
Having a nuclear power plant used to be a license to print money.
James Lucier is managing director at Capital Alpha Partners. He's talking about the days when natural gas was more expensive.
Today, though, we have cheap natural gas, especially lots of natural gas in places where nuclear power plants happen to be located.
And for now, there's no national policy putting a price on carbon emissions, a policy that might give expensive nuclear projects a leg up. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
The heuristic value of taking a pop quiz. Our quizmaster on the Marketplace Morning Report is our friend Stefan Richter, editor-in-chief at The Globalist. Thanks for coming in, Stefan.
Thank you, David. Haven't heard that word since I was in high school, heuristic and stuff like that.
But quiz in itself. What do you have for me?
Question is this. Women still don't make as much as men. And across the OECD countries, which is all the rich countries around the world pretty much, it's a 15% gap. So my question is, which of these four major economies is closest to that average? Is it South Korea, Germany, the United Kingdom, or the United States?
Okay. So which of these perhaps pays women 85 cents for every dollar a man gets? Is it something like that?
Something like that.
All right. Let's say progressive Germany.
That would be nice. The Germans are progressive on some things, renewable energy, but they don't treat their women right. They are improving. It used to be a 24% pay gap at the beginning of the millennium. Now it's down to 21%, but that's still quite unbecoming for an advanced economy such as Germany's.
How about the United States of America? Maybe we're right on average.
Or above, one should assume. But here's the shocking news. We don't even make the average. We're below the average. The pay gap is 19%.
All right. Let's go with South Korea then.
You're getting worse and worse, and that's all because you obviously hate the Queen. But the South Koreans are doing horribly on this account. 39% pay gap.
That's dramatic.
That's dramatic, and it's persistent throughout Asia, so it's really bad. But there's one ray of hope. Childless women in South Korea earn just 13% less than men. So that shows fully professional women that are fully focused on careers to the exclusion of having kids in a family, they're getting close up there in terms of closing the loop to the men.
All right. So a survey of the pay gap depending on gender in some developed countries. Stefan Richter, follow him on Twitter at The Globalist. Stefan, thank you.
You're very welcome.
And even with worry about Afghanistan's burgeoning crop of poppies turning into heroin, there's word that the world is not growing enough of the flowers to make legal painkillers. The Financial Times reports that pharmaceutical companies are leaning on Australia to expand poppy production. Right now, the Australian island of Tasmania has a monopoly on poppies there, but the land is maxed out. Demand for painkillers is up threefold in 20 years as the global middle class expands. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.